Nate. Welcome back. This is the last podcast of the Kansas City trip.
I know. We've been here for, it feels like, a month and a half, maybe 2 months.
And this is the first one it looks like you're officially preparing for.
Yeah. Christine, shall we prepare?
Yes.
On three. One.
Two.
Two. Three. Yes. Clinky.
That even, ooh, yeah, that looks painful.
That's very refreshing.
Oh, yes. That was good. I'm ready to do a show now.
Can you get a chaser?
Almost. Woo! I'm good to go. Let's do the reflux.
Welcome,
wait,
everybody.
Let me take that again. Let's do the Reflex Blue Show, Donovan.
Fantastic.
All right.
Welcome back to Christine Taylor, who was on the season two opener.
Season two opener. Last time we talked to you, we were making prints in Donovan's old office. He's got a new one.
Yeah, we moved.
You have a new office?
Four blocks. It's like 60% larger. It's actually large enough it would have fit everyone who was working that day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we wouldn't have to be on top of each other.
Right.
Well, Justin and Steve would still do that.
But yeah. There's more battling now because we got a Street Fighter II arcade machine in there.
But you don't have the what's it called next door where we had the cocktails?
There's a bar just as close to the new place. It's just a different bar.
Okay, does it look exactly the same with those?
It's kind of trashy like that, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
It's not bad. So
well, then,
next time
as long
you're
as
up.
You adopted another bar, I mean.
Actually,
yes.
You and I have.
And you
been
have
there
a full
yet.
Street
well,
Fighter?
Well, we were there before we
yeah, full blown stand up Street Fighter. We've actually mentioned the Street Fighter several shows running now.
Yeah, well,
people
we,
are gonna
we
think
have
we have
it for
a
couple months now. Cause
people are going to think we have a hang-up about that.
We kind of do. Cause
about my
do.
Flash kick to your face.
There's only two arcade machines I've ever wanted in my life. Full arcade machines, and it's Tron.
Okay.
And the original old school one. I don't even know if they made any others.
I don't want to get you off track here.
And the old school Star Wars.
The vector, like you're
yeah.
in the X-Wing. Okay, but I want you to tell me why you would ever want that Tron machine. Like, is that like a special personal memory to you? Because I've played one not too long ago. There's one by my house.
Yeah, but did you play it as a kid?
No.
I don't know. I loved it. There was something about it that
See,
was
I
just
think
so awesome.
I played
awesome.
It a few times, but I never saw the movie. So I thought it was cool because everyone at the time told me it was cool, Tron game.
We were just having this conversation. Have
I
you not seen Tron?
No.
We just had this conversation about someone else.
I can get my Tron figures out, too.
I'm ready.
If we want to, we can get all of the figures out, but it would take a little
while.
We
could just stay here and just play with your toys.
I have a feeling if you decorate, you could decorate this office like I decorate, or this house
this
like
is
I
a
decorate
house.
My office.
We're actually in a house at this point.
Yeah,
we've
I'm
been
waiting.
In offices
I need
all day.
One more room, and that will be the toy room where I'll actually display everything.
You don't
want to
do
it's
the
all
thing
embedded.
Where it's, you don't want to be 40-year-old virgin lady with toys everywhere.
Not in the living room. It has to be a private.
Yeah.
Private area.
Right. For company, you don't
but
be
I could
like,
I could
check out
have
my Tron
that.
Doll.
Yeah. I could have.
Are they full size?
Like that.
Full size Tron
no,
doll?
No,
or
no,
like 12 little...
inch. They're three and a whatever, three and a half. What are they?
Sure.
Three and a half?
Three and three quarters.
Star Wars
three quarters,
size.
Whatever, yeah.
Oh, I would say G.I. Joe size, but most people equate G.I. Joes with the big ones.
Depends
falsely,
on the age.
I guess. I don't know. We should talk about, what are we here to talk about today? Christine, you are the director of licensed goods at Hallmark.
Well, my official title is Creative Account Manager in licensing.
Right. In licensing.
Yes.
And we've been there officially. We had a tour today. This is actually kind of our second Hallmark show because we did Hoops and Yo-Yo a couple weeks back. I mean, a few hours ago. No, a couple weeks ago. And so we did that. We got to kind of get like a little taste of Hallmark. And then we came back around. You gave us like a pretty awesome little tour.
Yes, it was a nickel and dime tour, but I got to show you most of the highlights.
Can we tell
time.
People about some of the things we
yeah,
saw?
Certainly, yeah.
There was the
original Toulouse-Lautrec prints just hanging on the wall.
Alphonse Mucha. I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah,
but
it's Mucha.
Mucha.
They had a
straight up on the wall, like originals there, and not like in a gallery, just in a hall.
Yeah, you open up the elevators, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's the...
I mean,
there's Matisse.
I figured out that that's the hallway next to the hall's office of Hallmark.
Right.
Like, so maybe that's the elevator they take, and so let's put the Lautrec there.
Yeah, where the Jasper Johns were down a couple floors
and
hidden.
But, you know, this incredible, like book library of, like, kind of, like, illustration books or creative books about every magazine... that you can find, and all of this stuff is just available for employees. There was the sort of non-art store art store, where it's like if you go to an art store, all of the things that you find there, there's a room of that at Hallmark. There was, what else? There were all kinds of things that were just knocking my socks off. What else?
Yeah, it's stuff you normally don't see in most corporate offices. In fact, you don't see in agencies.
Right. Well, yeah, and that was like, and there's a damn lot of it too. That is a big place.
I think that's actually what is different about Hallmark more than other corporations. They've always so been based and rooted in the creative portion mm-hmm. of what we do. And they really take care of their creatives, and they make sure the creatives have the resources they need in order to really create. And be inspired and stay inspired.
That's basically what I saw today. It was just an almost unbelievable amount of resources for creative people. I was not expecting to see that at all. I thought that was really, really cool.
As compared to the resources most of us have, which are called like iStock.
Yeah. The sort of the archives, the art gallery that we walk through. I mean, just like really a gallery space in the office. Like that's different to me. That's a new thing. But anyway, so what you do there is hang out with everyone that we think is cool.
I try to,
when we had you down last spring, we basically said, we have to come back. We have to just have Christine on to do nothing but tell us stories. And that is basically, we're here for you to tell us stories. And you look like now, like, oh, damn, like now I got to think of all my stories and I don't remember. Right. Hopefully our show preparation would help loosen some of those up. So I promised you I would do it this way.
Yeah.
We're going to throw a topic at you, and you have to come up with a story about it. Topic.
All right.
Okay. We'll start with an easy one.
Do I need more bourbon?
If you want, we can do...
No, it's okay.
We're only 6 minutes in. So if you want...
This show won't go more than 8 hours.
Yeah. So we'll start with an easy one. Uh-huh. The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Probably the best story I could tell is... I was there when we first signed The Simpsons on as a licensing contract. And so just getting to work on a product and on that project that was something that I loved growing up. I was obsessively watched my senior year in high school and all through college.
I love how people refer to it as growing up when it's still on the air in like season 20.
It is in season 20. It's the law. Actually, when I was just at Comic-Con and I saw them do their presentation, the Guinness Book of World Records came in and gave them the longest running television show over Ozzie and Harriet. They just edged it out in this last episode. Like they have broken lots of records. But getting to work on that product and, tell the same jokes that they tell on TV in a card and help us kind of leverage The Simpsons in ways that they haven't been leveraged before, because they hadn't really done great. They tried greeting cards and they didn't work. And then to be told by Matt that it was the first time.
That's the creator of The Simpsons.
Matt
Groening. That's Groening. Thank you.
That he can trust us to write, because a lot of the other licensees cannot.
People aren't creative. Is it just that the greeting card format is that much different than writing for the show?
It is in a way, because it's merchandise. But in a lot of their other stuff, they don't let any other the licensees write for The Simpsons. And because we have such a huge writing staff and creative staff, and we were really able to illustrate to them and show them that we were able to take the brand and still make it The Simpsons, but make it into a greeting card, which before, I guess, the greeting cards about 10 years ago did not. I won't name the card company that did them, but it wasn't Hallmark.
Cowabunga. Don't have a cow card.
Yeah, it was expected. And I think that, plus we had sound cards, so we were able to take a clip from a show and really convert it into a sending situation and make it funny and put it, give it a whole new life, which is how they really like to see their merchandise, is not just emulating the show, but taking the idea of the show and making something completely new, because that's what their fans love. Simpsons have become more ubiquitous, where even, Homer is like the everyman. And so it's easy to give like a Homer Father's Day card to your dad, because he does so many dad things. So it's been perfect for us. But the pinnacle was at Comic-Con last year, is meeting Matt and him telling me face to face how much he loves the Hallmark product, and that, kind of...
Oh yeah,
like nobody else
Matt
was there.
Cards just hanging around the office.
Yeah, that was. We just
I
walked into
that
a
one.
Room.
I have my personal one, but I'll show you that. I'll dig that up later.
Okay.
It's hidden behind a pile of Tron toys.
Bart Simpson called us, called one of my counterparts, and then she forwarded me the email.
Did he prank you? Did he do that? Did he do that?
You know, I'm surprised hug and he kiss? Didn't. I know. Yeah. I was actually disappointed. I wish. I That's, saved it for just, a little
you've,
while.
You've just found the way to make getting a phone call from Bart Simpson, like, not a computer-generated phone call. You've just found a way to make that disappointing. So congratulations.
Thanks. See, now Thank I you. Could, I we have that card. We have not Amanda Hugging Kiss, but Seymour Butts. And I could just play that for you and pretend that Bart's prank calling you. Sure. Yeah. But no, it was, he called to thank us for his ornament that he received.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, because he was in the first year ornament. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's continue on. Simpsons was pretty good.
Star Wars.
Do you want to go for the big one now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The big one.
Maybe it's the big one, but it's not.
Star Wars is probably the most stories, and you know, it probably has the closest to my heart. But I'll tell you anything you want about anything
give
else.
Give us the rundown of perhaps seeing was it episode 3 first, or what, was it
4?
Was it 4?
Yeah.
Start 4.
Yes.
Wait. Mm-hmm.
Started with 4. 4, 5, 6. Then it went to 1, 2, 3.
Well, I'm aware of that. No, I know that.
What are you talking about?
No, because you told us last time you were down that you went out to Skywalker Ranch and saw one of the movies before it came out.
Oh, no, I saw Clone Wars.
Clone Wars. Oh, the Clone Wars movie.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like Attack of the Clones.
Once again, Nate, you made this story disappointing to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm about
to. So now let's
well,
get
I do
now
have,
you're even with me.
Cut
I,
that. Wait, hey, tell us about Star Wars.
I do have colleagues. There we go. I do have colleagues that went out and saw episode 3. Out at Skywalker. I was not on the account when episode 3 came out.
Okay, sorry. I just made your story terrible.
That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, no. I've been to Skywalker Ranch, which is exciting.
Tell us about that. Tell us about going to Skywalker Ranch.
Well, I went to Skywalker Ranch. A lot of the licensors hold summits on site at their places. Sometimes it's at licensing show. Sometimes it's on a set. It's in different situations, but they have moved most of Lucasfilm from Skywalker Ranch to the Presidio, and so I had only been to the Presidio in San Francisco, and so I was like, when are we going to get to go to Skywalker? And finally I get an invitation to the Indiana Jones / Clone Wars Summit. And it's going to be out at Skywalker. And I was curious why they showed it at Skywalker. I know some of the animation's out there, so that could be why. But I thought they might bring some heavies out, you know. They have before. But no, Spielberg did a cast to us, like...
Oh,
whatever.
Like, hey, guys, I'm off being cool.
And then, I don't know, I guess George was too busy, and so was Harrison, so... But it didn't matter, because we were at Skywalker Ranch, and we had a rent-a-car. I tend to kind of do my own thing, which often gets me in trouble, even with some of the Star Wars people, who just laugh at me, because they're like, oh, it's Christine, she's doing that again. They know how much I love Star Wars, too.
Right.
And so there's a store where you saw my sack from. There's a general store, but it was kind of away from where we were. And I guess they were leading troops over there. Well, I didn't know that. I was just like, I knew there was a store, and I just started going to try to find it. So I'm walking around the grounds. I'm by the swimming pool and all this stuff. And I'm leading colleagues around, too. Like, I know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. And so finally I see people. So we find the store. I don't even know how we do after walking in circles. And this guy turns to me and he says, did you walk over by yourself? And I go, yeah. Like, oh, you're supposed to always have an escort on the grounds. And then they told us, never go up to the house, you know, and all this stuff. And so at that point, at the time that we had broken that many rules, we got escorted back the way we were supposed to. And we left, and hopefully no one from Lucasfilm, although they wouldn't be surprised that I did this. We left in our rental car and drove up to the house. We were not supposed to drive to the house.
Oh, no. You're just getting yourself in trouble.
I was my colleague, my writing editorial partner. I was like, let's go to the house. And the marketing partner's in back going, no, you guys, we're going to get in so much trouble. We're going to get in so much trouble. And we're like, go.
This is when you say the house. This is
the house you always see, the White House, where George is when he has his writing studio and all of that stuff. So we drive up. We probably could have gotten out of the car and gone in. actually, we might have gotten in trouble. I don't know if you've ever seen Fanboys. There might have been some Imperial guards that come out at some point and,
I haven't seen Fanboys get you.
That you should. If you're a Star Wars fan, you should see it.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
All
right. Now, you guys have actually, Hallmark actually this year was the first year you went to Comic-Con.
Second.
Oh, you guys went.
We went last year.
Now you're making your stories bad.
This was actually the first year that we did it big. Last year we found out 2 months before, so we were scrambling to get stuff together.
What is a company like you guys get from going to Comic-Con? Like, what was it? Was it to promote the ornaments?
It's more keepsake driven because the collector base is there. But because we do have a lot of sound cards and pop culture cards, we'll bring that stuff that we also have ornaments for because they have an affinity for it. And a few party and gift wrap products as well. But Keepsakes leads it with licensing, and you know, we had a terrific response. Now, this was the first year we sold an exclusive, which
what was it this year?
We did two exclusives. We did a Star Wars clone pack. We did a Shock Trooper and a Shadow Trooper together, and then all right.
I know what you're talking about.
We did a repaint on Uhura because she's normally in. What, the red shirt?
Normally in red.
And we painted her in gold because she's in the original first, or one of the first episodes in gold. And so
people would go nuts for that.
People did go nuts for it. We sold out of the ornaments every day.
Was this classic Uhura or was this
classic.
New school?
Okay. No. Okay. Yeah, no, it's original series. So, it's fun to go back. Like, we did it first real rough. We had no budget.
Right.
You know, we just kind of threw stuff together. It, for me as a creative, it killed me because we had no budget. And I mean, it was great that I could be resourceful, but you can only be resourceful so far in a convention center, and they charge you for everything anyway.
Yeah.
And so, and with a person saying, no, we can't buy that. No, we can't buy that. No, we don't have that. And you have 2 months to do this. And it's like, what? So this year, having the full year to plan, we were able to pull together other resources in the building and, you know, get a merchandising display and ship all that out and do it. Still budget consciously and cover some costs with the ornament sales. So it really paid off this year in a big way, much more than it did last year. Last year created some buzz, but we were really able to make a huge statement. I try my best to be the Hallmark PR girl that goes to as many parties as possible.
Now, hey, and, of course,
and,
you've got to work
make my presence.
Parties.
You know, I mean, Hallmark has to show up at these parties, and
that would make sense.
Your
to me.
Facebook during Comic Con was the best Facebook during Comic Con. By the way,
I tried to Facebook as much as possible, but it started to dwindle at the end because it was just too much.
Trailed off a little bit. I like the. I think it was during the Twilight. Panel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You got all the actors.
Please, Nate, tell me you're not a Twilight fan.
Going, you know, I didn't. I guess I didn't dislike Twilight.
Oh, you saw it?
I just felt like it didn't get started till the last 15, 20 minutes.
I can't believe
that. That was my. Have you not seen it?
Do I look like a 14-year-old girl?
It's all right. Twilight's all right.
It's not bad. Did your wife, though, encourage you?
Yeah,
I mean, you just want to see what the buzz was about. Because there's two ways.
I was Donovan. I'm not watching Twilight. And then we were over at my cousin-in-law's. She I think it was like her high school graduation party or something. And she had Twilight on a TV. And it was, I don't know, right about the time, like not when they go to the forest and say, I'm a vampire. She says, you're a vampire, whatever. It was just slightly before that when he's like stopping the car with his hand and all that. And I was like, jeez, I kind of want to know what's gonna happen. So I made my wife Netflix it because it was on at this party and I saw it in the background.
The good news is that the next movie looks a lot better for males. They're a lot more action packed. I think they've really been cognizant of what the elements that were missing in the first movie, other than budget and special effects. They were really cognizant of it and. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the guy, they switched directors, the guy that's doing, or that just did The Golden Compass, if you watched it.
I did.
He has great production design and, you know, very, and that's, it's cohesively hangs together. It's got a beautiful color palette. So it'll be artistic and action filled too. And believe me, I am not into the Twilight fandom, but because I have to be in this world, I just think that this movie's going to be much better and much more accessible to males and as well as females.
If any of our listeners wants to try to convince me that I should watch Twilight, please leave some comments explaining to me why it's worth my time.
I'm not going to say that you necessarily should.
So we can get off the topic, we're going straight to the MGTIP from here.
Oh, should we go to the MGTIP?
We're going to the MGTIP.
MGTIP is actually about falling in love with people when you're a vampire.
Hot.
Okay, guys, so the student tip for this episode is contribute and share what you know about design. And so, let's say you're a senior in design school. Ask your professors if you can be a student aide to help out the younger students in your school. Contribute on your friends' blogs and make friends with other blogs and ask to contribute and share your thoughts. People are always looking for content. And just in general, be always helpful and gracious in giving out any sort of valuable feedback you've learned as a student. Because by sharing, you not only become a really well-respected and go-to resource, you help everyone become better at design too, and to me that's win-win. So, contribute and share what you know, because it'll definitely come around back to you.
Oh, hey, good.
Big's tip did not convince me to watch Twilight, so you guys gotta leave some really good comments for me to want to, like, rent that or something.
I think you should wait for the new movie.
Record that tip and... Yeah, you know what? Just go ahead and jump in on the second one. You want to know about the first one? Dude's a vampire. Done.
Yeah.
That's the movie. He gets a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's kind of a...
Does this take does whatever like 2 hours told. To find out?
Yes.
Could just watch like the last 15 minutes of Twilight. And then
seriously, that's what I said. That's when the movie starts.
I could just watch what I have already, which is none of it.
You know, it's Twilight's not for everyone.
Okay.
It's for girls.
It's not even really for 14. Me. I just...
Well, but that's work. It's like, no, do you, are there any like really bad movies where you're like, no, I have to watch this for work, even though
I
you
actually
really
thought
don't.
That about this. And I was like, I have to watch this and I don't really want to see this. And a couple of the kids films, I'm like, I have to see this. And most of the time I'll thoroughly enjoy myself. I'm trying to think of something I just said, I don't really get it. I can't stand it.
By the time this airs, I will have... knock on wood, finished a book, a children's book illustrating it about Chihuahuas. And right now I'm currently on the threshold of, do I watch Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
No, there are thresholds and
I don't want to tip over.
I think you just go online and watch the old Gidget commercials for Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could
God
be.
Rest his soul.
Let's talk, whatever.
All dogs are he's to me. I'm so terrible, and cats are she's. It's like I grew up on it because that's what my sex's parents said.
No, that's the gender role of the
animal. I know, but I'm so ambiguous in all other lifestyle things. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I still associate dogs and cats.
I've only ever had girl cats and boy dogs. That's my entire life has been that way. So I'm the same way. I agree with you.
You know,
when you say
I may have too.
Yeah.
Oh no, I have a boy cat right now.
Oh, there it is.
I like
you. That Darth Vader, that cat that walks around out back.
I should have bought sound effects. I totally had.
That was a nice one you did just there.
I totally had sound effects we could have been playing in the background. Damn it.
Oh, we had sound effects.
Actually,
on
you know,
show.
If we keep talking, I can find my computer. We can pull it up.
Nice. So tell us about, we're going to sit new topic, NBC shows.
NBC shows. Office is what we've done most of, which is fun. Another thing that is just so fun to pull Michael Scott clips and make that into a greeting card. I still go into our room of cards, which I showed you today,
yeah,
and open the Office cards and laugh no matter what. I don't know that I have any fantastic stories on The Office in particular, other than I know that they all see our product.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
The interesting thing about a lot of the NBC shows, especially in any of the new current shows, is not only does their licensing department see it and kind of get first dibs on it,
yeah,
they'll send it to
the
producers.
You had the Earl mock-ups, which you said are not going to go out because the show got canceled, probably.
Yeah, most likely.
That's good.
Revives,
you heard it here first, folks.
Well, most likely they could. Yeah.
They could. I mean, they
sure.
could always. We could always, you know, find a place.
Syndicated.
And it's syndicated,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
It really just depends. You know, planning is a. It can be a difficult process. I mean, as far as captions and balance, and something's got to go out for something else to come in, and so if the right caption came in, it totally could be there. So, but as far as. I don't know if I was. What was I done with The Office?
I think you were done with The Office and you were about to talk about 30 Rock.
You just want me to talk about Tina Fey.
I just want you to talk about Tina Fey.
I get on that. Is Tina Fey sees all our stuff. Yeah. Like, and so all the producers of The Office see our stuff. All of the actors see our stuff. So I just, I want to kind of know what they think. I mean, sometimes it does come back. Like, they'll change their photo. The producers will come back and say, well, you know, Jim wouldn't say that.
We'll take that comment at 36 point if you are a producer on 30 Rock or The Office and you want to let Christine know.
You can.
And
call
you just happen to be listening to our show. Let's fire it up. Let's make this happen.
Well, and no, they're great. I mean, most of the comments, you know, licensing is a tricky process because, you know, they definitely have an expectation of who their characters are and what their show is. And in some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad.
Because they're actually all a client, these licenses. It sounds like you're working on just like, oh, I'm working on 30 Rock stuff, but you have to approve it through. And you still have to approve it through Hallmark as well, so you almost have two clients?
Yeah, yes. And that's exactly why I'm in the role that I am, is I'm really the diplomat between the two. I really help manage the two strategies and make sure they're both on strategy. So if the licensor doesn't understand our strategy, which can sometimes be complex because there is, you know, media use sitting situations involved, seasons, captions. And then, you know, if the card planning team or the business unit, ornaments are a little more straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't know the ins and outs of the show or what the producer's expectations are. And I've got to know what all those are, and I have to know what the style is, and I have to know everything about the show in order to convey that to the teams and know everything about our product so I can convey that to the licensor. So, and if there's a disagreement, I've got to help solve it. So
yeah, that doesn't seem like a labyrinth at all.
Interesting.
Was there ever a license that you could tell us about that was like, just too tough of an egg to crack? Like, you just, like, because I can see it when you're working on someone else's creative property, trying to bring your own creative ideas to it. Like you said with The Simpsons, to capture the essence of the show without just, you know, saying don't have a cowman on the card.
Right.
You know, has there ever been
anything?
That
would be a great card, dude.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be the best.
you know, was there ever one where like, dang, like, man, they hated the stuff we showed?
Oh, we've had... I can't say that we haven't had rejects, but they're few and far between. We usually find a common ground of what they're, and you know, sometimes the licensor has a very valid point that we've missed over. And then sometimes
Pam and Dwight
we have
on
to
a Valentine's
explain.
Day card.
We have to explain, but see, if they were doing that as a friend to friend, they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there was one scene.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I think actually one. Picked that up, and I don't think that they got it. But, it, you know, it depends on the sending situation, because we have thousands of things we can pull from. So, but yeah, it can get extremely hairy. And then, you know, on top of that, especially with characters, you have brand, you have, you know, would they really say that? Would they really look like this? Does this really feel like them? And so, really, the more time I'm on an account, I can learn more and more about not only the show. I mean, I watch it and understand it to begin with, but what their expectations are.
The more repeat viewings of Twilight you have, the better you can understand the complex character development that I am missing out on.
You say that mockingly, but you wouldn't understand Star Wars the way you do now if you hadn't watched the crap out of Star Wars when you were a kid and as an adult.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, and speaking of, as we're winding down here, we have time for one more Star Wars story. If you want to regale
one more Star Wars story. Do you want like a actual professional story or
I want like an
story?
Embarrassing I got drunk and threw up on George Lucas's shoes type of
I
story.
I did get to see George Lucas once. He introduced the Clone Wars to us. Mm-hmm. That was exciting. I have lots of encounters.
Is that like when you see like the president?
And
I saw Bill Clinton once. You saw George Lucas?
Yes. That, God, I don't know if this is funny. I don't know if this is the funniest story.
Let's try it out.
I almost got left at the Presidio because the first time I went there, I was so in awe at seeing everything that they completely round the corner. I didn't even know where they went. I mean, they just, because I was supposed to be following them, but they're just like trucking along and I'm like drooling at all of the Star Wars costumes, you know, going through ILM. Going and on top of that, George has this massive collection of movie posters, and I mean, huge, huge movie posters that are hanging all over the wall. So it's every inch of that place, much like with Hallmark, it's just stuff to look at. And I'm just like, I can't even make it through. I almost said they had to come back and get me. I mean, that wasn't...
that's actually like a foreshadowing of if me and Nate ever get out there, the same thing is going to happen. And we're going to be like, this is like deja vu.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like this is like when that Christine lady was here and she wouldn't leave. Yeah.
I spent an exorbitant amount of money in their store too. So I haven't been out there in a while, but I don't
know. When you go to the Lucasfilm store, can you get things that are you can't find at Target? Yeah, she's got
a Jabba the Hutt.
Well, you can get Jabba the Hutt's mug from there. This is a really real, and in Fanboys, actually, they make up a cafe, but there is a Jabba the Hutt that is located at the Presidio. It used to be at Skywalker Ranch. And there's a guy that's been operating it there since the 90s, and they sell merchandise for it. I don't know that they sell that merchandise anymore, which is sad. I have a t-shirt and a mug.
We got in at the right time. And see, the 90s, that was, if I could go back to a period of Star Wars, that's what it would be, like 92.
It wouldn't be like 77.
Like that Monopoly set that I got from
actually,
you.
It would be 1980. It would be 30 years. Which is the 30th anniversary is coming up next year of Empire Strikes Back, which is the most beloved Star Wars film.
As
well it should be.
One of the things I love that they did, and this is, we should probably wrap up the show soon, but they did an April Fool's back when they were working on Attack of the Clones, and they were doing like production diaries for that, and hey, here's the status update on the set. And on April Fool's, they took their normal StarWars.com down, put up a 1980... esque era green and black screen, hey, we're working on Empire Strikes Back right now, here's how the production's going website, and they had done, I don't know, 4 or 5 different layers of this with like, here's some stills from the shoot, you know, Harrison Ford's back, all that kind of stuff. It was just great. It was just really okay, clever, well, really
had,
fun.
We're gonna leave, but we're gonna ask that since we had comments on the blog a few months ago about the third best Batman movie, we'll take your comments on the third best Star Wars movies.
Yeah, you can put them in order.
No, we just want to know the third best.
Which is the third best?
What's the third best?
Yeah, because we got into a thing about Batman.
What's your third best? Are you not wanting to sway the audience?
You know what? I'm gonna go Episode 3 as being the third best.
That's mine too.
Okay.
It just squeaks over Jedi.
That first part of Jedi until they leave the island is some of the, or until after they kill, until they kill Jabba and leave the planet, that's some of the best Star Wars ever. And after that,
correct. Well, when Boba fell in the Sarlacc pit, it all started to go downhill.
Until Revenge of the Sith came out, it did also have the best climactic space battle in it. It totally did.
Okay, leave your comments.
It totally did.
We'll be back in a couple
weeks. We'll debate that.
Did we? So you're saying so Revenge was your third?
Well, first of all, it didn't have Porkins in the space battle. It still had Wedge because the man wouldn't die.
She makes a compelling case here.
Why didn't they put Porkins in the prequels as a fat little baby? They threw almost everyone in, Elsa. And
Chewbacca could deliver him.
I was expecting a Han Solo baby, and then it just occurred to me now, a fat little Porkins baby would have been great.
Han Solo still wouldn't have been born. Neither would Porkins.
Well, but I mean, but Luke was born eventually, and he's older than Luke. So I was thinking the second
he would have.
Okay, Nate, what's your third?
My
third best. He's gonna say the Ewok.
We could do a Star Wars.
No, I'm just gonna
smack
like,
the man.
Let's just keep rolling here.
What's
I want
third best.
Third best. I'm gonna say is Star Wars. Is A New Hope.
Oh, man.
Well, we'll accept that from you.
Because I'm because Revenge of the Sith.
We know he loves the Ewok movie so much.
Yeah.
He is. He has an Ewok obsession. I'll show you some Ewok stuff. Okay. I'll show you some stuff that we have that on some e-cards.
Hang on. Don't kill it yet. Because when Revenge of the Sith came out and I was watching that in the theater and I was like, that was the movie I wanted to see. They could have skipped the other two prequels.
Now, I like the second one.
The Empire or Clones?
The Clones.
Really? Because I try to go back and watch
it's
the Clones.
It's better than Menace.
It's all about two favorite characters, which are Obi-Wan and Boba.
Yeah, I suppose. But to me, it's not better. That first like half hour of Revenge of the Sith is, to me, the best half hour of Star Wars.
Yeah. Of the whole six?
If you just take any random half hour out of Star Wars... Yeah, that's my opinion. That's what I'm putting out there. So what's your favorite half hour of Star Wars? This is what the show is going to
become. I'm a big Solo fan, so I loved Empire because he had more FaceTime. I literally cried when he got put in carbonite. I couldn't believe I had to wait freaking 3 years to find out if the man was going to live or die.
Well, that's like one of the greatest moments in all of film.
Right. Besides, I'm your father, which you know, it's fortunate enough that we got to see it, that we were actually shocked by it, that it was actually not even leaked.
I know. Could you imagine that in this day and age?
Yeah, they didn't even leak what Yoda looked like.
Yeah. Well, Yoda was kind of a last-minute ad and became, like, the top character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite half hour is still the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
Actually, you know what? Now, talking it through with Christine, the last half hour of Empire is actually the best half
No.
As soon as they hit the carbon chamber, the last half hour of it's totally the best.
You know, I could see. You know, whatever. I could.
I love that. Yes, please. Yeah. Do you have the lightsaber app?
Yeah, I've had the lightsaber.
You guys can fight later because Donovan's got it too.
To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery. Music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.
We want to do a sound check, Nate, if you want to check your microphone. There's the microphone.
I'm Christine. This is my Christine impression.
That's
I'm gonna get ready.
That's the worst impression ever.